Okay, here we go. The Ben and Maggie Show. He's about to get crazy and wild. Stay for a while. Don't touch a radio dial. The Ben and Maggie Show. Kicking it back, sports talk. Listen to that and stay tuned for some giggles and laughs. Go.
Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you. I don't know how some of you sleep at night.
Welcome to the Ben and Mikey Show.
I sleep on my left side.
Yeah.
You generally. Sometimes I'd say 70% left side, 30% right side.
That's
never
time,
on my back.
Some time when all the media, all the left media were telling us, oh yeah, it's the right thing to do.
Now, quick question for both you, Ben, and you, Bill.
Yeah.
You think being vaccinated had anything to do with Bronny, LeBron James' son, having a heart attack
yes,
at USC
I do.
Practice?
Yes, I do. Will he come out and tell the truth about what really happened? No. Will Jamie Foxx? No.
Well, but LeBron was raving about how he had vaxxed both of his kids.
Oh, yeah,
or whatever.
So proud of it. Yeah, now he can't go back and say, oh, well, maybe I was wrong. That's all he would have to say.
You know, you've been saying it for a long time, Smitty. I don't know why more people aren't saying, well, look at all these heart things that are happening to these athletes that are supposedly in the best shape of their life.
And in an effort to disavow themselves from any responsibility, the medical community has come up with a new a malady. It's called the SAD, the Sudden Adult Death Syndrome.
That's very sad.
Yeah, sad.
I went and visited a friend of mine, 81. He's going to be 81 years old in November, and he says he's had long COVID for 14 months. And I said, what is that? He said, I blame the shots.
Yeah.
It's coming out more often now.
Long COVID may have affected his heart, and now it's affecting his energy level, and so they're calling it long COVID.
Oh.
These things, the clots that the embalmers are pulling out of people's arms because they can't put the embalming fluid in.
Yeah.
They look like chunks of calamari.
Now I'm grossed out.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Do you think I could have? I got two shots. Do you think I could have the calamari in my?
The media says nothing. They say that's
Ben,
a conspiracy theory.
What do you say, Ben? You're a young man with a brain, I think.
Come on, Ben.
Well, if
I'm not sure, dude.
Yeah, it is a little suspicious, is it not? But I don't know if I'm all the way there with you guys yet, because I think this type of stuff happens to athletes all the time, and we don't really hear about it that much.
Could be.
But
it also could be related, because one thing I do know is we are always being fucking lied to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except right now on this podcast,
that's right,
where we never ever lie to.
Verity
By the way, this is Planet Mikey episode number
335.
235. No, it's more than that.
It's 236,
235. It's got to be more than that. It's got to feels like 400. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're brought to you by the great folks and the outstanding mechanics at Pro Automotive with three locations. Two of them are in Webster, and one of them, I'm ad-libbing this, it's true. One is in Dudley. I'll give you the addresses if you so desire.
Yeah, I think you should.
First of all, there's South Main Street. There's 626 South Main Street, Webster. 8 Englewood Street, Webster, and 199 Oxford Avenue, Dudley. Or just go to proautomotivema.com. All the information is there. Jason Russo's crew are the very best at fixing your automobile.
Do you think he will know how to fix the horn on my 2010 RAV4?
Probably.
Yeah.
I say probably 99% chance.
Works when I'm turning right.
Yeah.
Works when I'm turning left, but not when I'm going straight ahead.
Well, you take it down to Jason Russo's crew. They'll take care of you.
All right.
Okay? I promise you that.
Thank you.
We're also brought to you by, last week, Bob Cates comes on from My Grandma's Coffee Cake, and he offered an offer that you can't refuse. As the Godfather once said, in Godfather 1, I believe it was,
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
And the offer is this: the greatest coffee cake in the world, the coffee cake of the stars, the most famous coffee cake in the world, My Grandma's Coffee Cake, made right here in Massachusetts, by the way, and shipped out fresh to your house. Unbelievable gift item, because there's no one that doesn't love this gift. You can get a special deal when you go to mygrandma.com, okay, and you pick out the cake, whether you want the blueberry or you want the cinnamon walnut, the traditional, or you want one with no nuts.
Hey, and we know about those walnuts. They're the best in the world.
They're the greatest in the world. And the vanilla that they use, which is,
it's the best in the world.
They have all these different flavors you can choose from, Granny Smith apple, whatever that is. And it's the world's greatest coffee cake.
But
and you use the promo code.
I was going to say, but wait, there's more.
Use the promo code Mikey5 and you'll get $5 off Bang! Just like that. It's as good as in your pocket. With Mikey5, the promo code at mygrandma.com. We have such great sponsors, you know.
Factor Meals, another great sponsor.
Factor Meals. When I tried that, I said, you know what? This is good. This food is good. I was amazed.
Now, you're not just saying that because they're sponsors.
No. I jumped on the thing with the thing, and then we had the commercial on the thing, and I said, I got the thing, and I did the thing, and yep. I said, this is good stuff, thing.
The thing.
It's a factor. And hey, we have a promo code for that, too. What's it called?
Mikey. Mikey. Mikey.
It's Mikey.
It's factormeals.com/Mikey.
There you go. And see how that pays off?
Wow.
That pays off, doesn't it?
So tell us about this food. What's the deal with it? Is it delicious?
It's really, really good. And you know what? It's easy because it's not frozen. You don't have to, you know, you just pop it in the microwave.
It's delivered
two
fresh.
Minutes.
Hold on.
Ding, ding. Take it out. And it's great.
Delivered fresh.
And it's healthy. That's the other side of that. I mean, I normally don't pay any attention to the health part of my diet.
Yeah.
But in this case, I can mention it because it's healthy food.
Is it factor.com? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't have it in front of me over here.
I figured you would know since you've tried the stuff.
It's factormeals.com.
There you go.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. So it's is that you have to use all those? Well, once you lock it into your computer, it comes up right away. It's like that spell correct.
And then the promo code is Mikey.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys should use that code. It's a good thing.
I will.
All right, so anyway, we have a bunch of things that we'll. These are very important things, okay? And I'm in a baseball mode. I usually am at the end of July anyway.
Yep.
So I have some very interesting baseball stuff. Are you with me on the baseball stuff here?
I'm with you.
Today, Hoyt Wilhelm would have been 101 years old. Now, why do I mention it? Well, because in all the baseball reference books, he comes up as 100 years old today. Mm-hmm. But he was actually born in 1922 on this date. Hoyt Wilhelm. Now, what do I know about him? Everything. You want to hear an interesting story about Hoyt Wilhelm?
Please. Tell us about Hoyt Wilhelm.
First of all, he got to get my glasses. I think he holds the record for the pitching the most games ever in the history of baseball. That's one little record. Mm. He pitched with the Giants of New York, St. Louis Cardinals, Cleveland Indians, Baltimore Orioles, Chicago White Sox, California Angels, Atlanta Braves, Chicago Cubs, and the L.A. Dodgers between 1952 and 1972. Now, he was almost 30 when he entered the major leagues. He pitched till he was almost 50. And, of course, Hoyt Wilhelm was known best for being one of the great knuckleballers of all time, a la Tim Wakefield and John Candy. Name some more knuckleballers. Phil Niekro.
R.A. Dickey.
Yeah. Yeah. He just said Dickey. Yeah,
there you go.
Here's the amazing story real quick. Wilhelm grew up in North Carolina. He fought in World War II. He spent several years in the minor leagues before starting his major league career at the age of 29. He was best known for the knuckleball, which enabled him to have great longevity. He appeared occasionally as a starter, but mostly as a reliever. He won 124 games in relief, still the major league record.
Wow.
He's the first pitcher to get 200 saves. He was the first to appear in 1,000 games. Wilhelm... was almost 50. He retired with one of the lowest career earned run averages, 2.52, Ben, huh?
That's insane.
Hoyt Wilhelm retired in 72, and then he was a coach. He died in 2002. But here's the thing. Early in his life, one of 11 children.
Wow.
So I think his daddy might have had hot nuts.
The whole team.
That senior Wilhelm, dude. I think he had some hot nuts going
in 1971. At the age of 48, 2.7 ERA.
Yeah, because of his knuckleball. But here's the thing. Okay, so I met him. I went to one of these autograph shows in Connecticut where they brought in all these guys, you know, from all over the Major League. It was like a big convention of collectibles and signing autographs.
That would be like Mikey Heaven.
So I see Hoyt Wilhelm. He's at a table. And because he was so old and all the people there were young, they didn't know who he was. He wasn't signing any autographs. He was just kind of sitting there. And I felt bad, you know? I felt bad for, like you do for a restaurant that doesn't have any customers in the store. I said, this poor guy, he's a Hall of Famer. And you know, I went over and I said, oh, my God, Hoyt Wilhelm. I said, oh, my God, one of my favorite players. He goes, well, how are you? You know? And he got up and shook my hand. sat down, signed me a real nice autograph. He was such a gentleman and such a, you know.
How long did you talk to him?
A Greatest Generation guy. But the thing is, he fought in World War II. He got a Purple Heart, the Battle of the Bulge. He was wounded in World War II. This is a very, very great American hero, but nobody talks about the guy.
Well, did you sit and talk with him?
I remember when you were the Orioles, man, that knuckleball, nobody could. I talked to him for a long time, and he was so excited to have just someone to talk to.
I'll bet.
Now, there was a line, you know, Eckersley had a line of 30 people, and over here you had, you know, Richie Allen or Dick Allen, and over here they all had lines of people waiting to talk to him, and Hoyt had nobody because no one knew who he was. And I loved it. I loved talking to him. And you know, 101 years old today, if he were still alive. And I wish he was alive.
He probably went home that night thinking, I met that real nice kid, Mike, I think his name was.
Yeah. I met this kid, I don't know, he's kind of ugly, but he was fun. He talked to me. No, but he was really, really.
Oh, he went home and was like, "This little pervert wouldn't leave me alone. He wouldn't shut up."
He kept his hands in his pockets the whole time he was talking to me. Now here's another one.
You're talking about knuckleballs. I didn't know what he meant.
Coming up is the birthday in a day. I think it's in today or tomorrow. We keep these things topical,
yeah,
and current, especially with baseball.
Yeah.
Ray Boone. Do you know anything about Ray Boone?
The father of Aaron Boone.
Nope.
No, wait.
Wrong.
Grandfather of
Pat Aaron Boone. The grandfather. Okay, let me just tell you. You know, instead of you massacring this whole topic.
Come on, Mike.
You will. Because you're like a half-assed baseball fan.
Oh, man.
What?
That's cold.
All right, Ray Boone, ready? He was in the major leagues, okay?
Yep.
He's a major leaguer. He was a third baseman. They had three children. He and his wife. His wife's name was Patsy. A little too detailed for you?
Patsy Boone.
Patsy Boone and Ray Boone, major leaguer. It's his 100th birthday this week. They were high school sweethearts.
Oh.
So now I sound like Joe.
Of course, they were high school sweethearts.
Together, they had three children. Bob Boone, catcher in the major leagues for the Phillies.
Yeah.
So one of his sons was Bob Boone, okay? Catcher from 72 to 1990, who had sons, Brett Boone, Aaron Boone, and another one. I can't I guess he wasn't
the Cooper Manning of the family.
The family became the first generation to have three generations of kid in the major leagues.
Yeah.
It was the first time that had ever happened, where the grandfather, the father, and the kids played major league baseball. And his great-grandson is a minor leaguer in the Washington Nationals organization.
Wow, already.
So he's continuing that. And here's the most unbelievable part of it. Boone, Ray, and his son Bob, catcher, and his two sons, major leaguers, Boones, are all descendants of Daniel Boone.
The actual Daniel Boone.
Yes!
My God.
Oh, my God. And because of that, I'm going to sing the song right now. Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man, and he walked like an animal and talked like an animal. That was from the TV show.
Oh, you're not going to keep going?
Nah,
I thought you knew the whole thing.
Oh, and another birthday in a baseball perspective is Felix Mantilla. Do you know anything about Felix Mantilla?
Not really.
Fee.
When I started, his friends called him Fifi.
Sure.
When I started watching baseball in 1964, Felix Mantilla was the backup second baseman. He eventually became the starting second baseman. They had gotten him from the Mets. And he had his greatest season. He hit 30 home runs as a shortstop, and he was supposed to be light hitting, bad fielding shortstop. Speaking of which, Kiki Hernandez, we got to get to that.
Yeah.
That's real important. Felix Mantilla turns 89 this Saturday. And what he did in all of baseball history that was so famous was Harvey Haddix, the kitten for the Pittsburgh Pirates, had a 12-inning perfect game going. 12 innings of perfect, retired all 36 batters. Who broke it up? Felix Mantilla.
I thought you were going to say Boone.
No, nobody. No. Felix Mantilla, but he didn't break it up with a hit. He hit a ground ball that became an error to ruin the perfect game, the third baseman bobbled it or something like that. And that is Felix Mantilla's claim to fame.
Wow.
I think he wore number 12 for the 64 Red Sox. There he is right there. Felix Mantilla. I knew all those guys. Not personally, but that was my, I mean, Bill Mambo Cat. Nobody swore like
Mambo.
Bill Mambo. Yeah, Mambo.
That's
right. Anyway, that's my baseball coverage for today. He broke up Harvey Haddix's bid for... Oh, wait, I got one more thing from baseball. This is really, really cool. You guys both knew Dick Raddatz.
Yeah.
One of my favorite all-time people in the history of my life. Dick Raddatz, he had a tendency to want to stay in the game. You know how relievers go in for one inning, they go in for two, maybe the closers, and then they're done. Dick Raddatz wanted to stick around. If it was a tie game, he wasn't giving that ball to you or you or the next guy that wanted to pitch. Mm-hmm. He just didn't do that. In Dick Raddatz's 4 years with the Boston Red Sox, and there were only four of them, 62, 63, 64, 65, there were seven occasions where Dick Raddatz insisted on staying in the game and pitched five or more innings of relief. Okay, you ready? 1962. Seven innings pitched, five hits, no walks, struck out four. He went seven innings of relief as a closer, okay? Later in 62, on September 9th, he went nine innings in relief. He gave up seven hits over the nine innings, but only one earned run. Wow. Struck out nine, okay, in nine innings. That was against the Yankees. And then in 63, he went seven innings again, gave up two runs, struck out five. In 1963, he went 8 2/3, no earned runs, struck out 11. He pitched basically a complete game in relief and struck out 11 guys in 1963. In 64, he went five, gave up one run. In 64, he went he went six innings, gave up one run. In 65, again, six innings of relief, zero runs. So over those seven games, he was 7-0, 48 innings, five earned runs for an ERA of 0.92.
Jesus.
And he struck out 38 guys. Now, that's a man right there who says, no, no, hell no. Go back in the dugout, Johnny. I'm finishing this one.
I shook hands with Raddatz. I couldn't believe how big his hand was.
But that's a difference between today's pussy pitchers. They have these pussies now in the major leagues who can't. I can't go 30 pitches. Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? You go nine innings as a closer?
They make a lot of money.
Unbelievable. As a matter of fact, the whole concept of the complete game as a major league stat, they've eliminated it on the ESPN site. There's not even a column for complete games. You know why? Because this year, the leader of the major leagues has two. Nate Eovaldi. Everybody else, there's like 18 guys with one complete game.
Wow. I just feel like the Red Sox could get players like Eovaldi.
But Eovaldi leads the league in complete games. He has two. Now, you're well aware, Ferguson Jenkins had 30 in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Warren Spahn had 382 complete games.
Why don't they do that anymore?
We talked about him.
Sports science.
You know how many Pedro had in his career, complete games?
12.
18.
18.
Teon had 187. Teon had 10 times as many complete games as Pedro Martinez because the complete game showed your manhood. You didn't give the ball to some reliever who you considered less than you as a pitcher.
I'm going to play the game.
You kept it.
Yeah.
Bill Lee, notorious junk ball pitcher and our good buddy, had 72 complete games. It's like these days you don't have them anymore. They just don't do them. And that's why I say unabashedly that the pitchers of today are pussies. Okay?
There you go. You've said it. You've spoken your mind, Mike.
Ooh, got that off my chest. You know, and I know people, you know, purists and old school baseball people probably agree with me. The young kids would probably be going like, oh, that's stupid. Who cares about complete game? And that's how they talk, right?
It's a good thing the young kids don't listen to this show.
Why? What are we going to do in 10 years from now? We got to build an audience with young people.
Well, if you're going to still be around in 10 years, I think your audience will probably still be around.
I'm pretty sure I won't be.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. I'm sure that's
just
going to
be me and Bill going, hey, remember Monkey?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Remember that?
Remember when he died on the show?
Can you bring up the Monkey story again? I got to hear the Monkey story.
That's right. Now, great moments with Mike Adams.
And now...
I was going to say Mikey, no.
And now a list I found on the internet, because we like lists.
Ooh. What kind of a list is this, Mike?
Well, remember I told you that I had a long, enduring porn career?
Yeah.
And I was a collector. I mean, I back then I could stand up for what was right. You know what I'm saying? I made a list back then. We used to collect these names of porn movies that are named after real movies that are kind of funny.
Oh.
Well, you give me thumbs up or down on these things.
Okay.
Thumbs up what?
A Few Hard Men.
A Few Hard Men.
A Grinding Nemo.
Thumbs up.
Grinding Nemo.
Bat Dude and Throbbin. Oh, Turner and Cooch.
There you go.
That one's too easy.
Sleeping Booty.
Now let me ask. Someone said, like, hey, what are we going to call this school? Thing? What are we going to call this movie?
How about Everyone I Did Last Summer? Nah. How about
I like that one.
How about Bi Curious George?
About monkeys? No.
Add Mama to the Train.
Oh, God.
King Dong.
There you go.
That's all. That should have been easy, too. Blown in 60 Seconds? I don't know. What was that?
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh. Crocodile Blondie. That sucks. Romeo in Juliet.
Well, there you go.
Oh, well, that's easy.
A little on the nose.
Shaving Ryan's Privates. We've used that.
Yeah.
Whore of the Rings. The Slutty Professor.
Oh, man.
In Diana Jones. Oh. The Good, the Bed, and the Snuggly.
No, that's terrible.
That's pretty clever, though.
Sleeping with Seattle. Pulp Friction. Burn Fight at the O-Gay Corral.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Malcolm XXX. Missionary Position Impossible. 40 Gays in 40 Nights. How about Homo Alone? I Dream of Weenie. Jurassic Pork. Here's one I always use.
Go ahead.
Yank My Doodle, It's a Dandy.
That's right.
That's a beautiful
one. You even have a song for that, don't you?
Dawson's Crack. Crocodile Dundee. What? Weapons of Ass Destruction.
There it is. There's a classic.
Seen that.
How I Wet Your Mother. The Devil Wears Nada. I kind of like that.
That one's pretty good.
For our friends south of the border.
Forrest Hump. Game of Bones. Goodwill Humping. Ocean's 11 Inches. Inspect Her Gadget. Legally Boned. Napoleon Dynamite. Tiger's Wood. Waiting to Triple Exhale. Men in Back. Ooh, yeah, what the hell is that? Saturday Night Beaver. White Men Can't Hump. My Big Lebowski. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Balls. Jesus. One Blew Over Miss Lulu's Chest.
Are there ratings for these movies?
they're all X.
Beverly. No, I think he meant like at a 10 or something.
Yeah. Are there any reviews?
Beverly Hills 90210 Ho. You've Got Male, M-A-L-E.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Wet Dreams on Elm Street.
Wow.
So, and that's the list right there. What do you think?
What's your favorite on that list,
oh,
Mike?
Oh, God, there's so many.
Come on now, Mike.
I couldn't sort through them. So, that's why I brought the whole list. And a fine list it is. I don't have much else for you guys. I honestly don't. I've been driving people around this week. I've been thinking about how unrewarding it is to be a Lyft driver. You know, I had a couple today get in the car, and I'm saying, "Oh, there's a couple going. A little skinny guy, and this big fat lady." And I brought them, and they were going to pick up their baby, which is who was at someone else's house. I'm like, first of all, I couldn't even believe they had a baby because this woman was like gigantic. You know, you got to think about it, okay? How did that happen? But secondly,
now you have a lot of heavy people that come into the Grand Marquis. When they get in, I always ask this question: does the car kind of lean to one side?
Well, I told you. Well, the one time on New Year's Eve, I picked up these three really big fat girls in the back, and they got in the back, and the car wouldn't go very fast.
Oh.
Honestly, and this is a V8. I hit the thing and just was struggling to get up this hill. I said, "Holy!" I said, "One of you is going to have to get out." No. Or we'll never get there. But speaking of big ladies, I got to tell you this little quick story from Twitter.
Go ahead.
She's a lady who's in a commercial.
Oh, you want the commercial?
Yeah, I think we should play the commercial because everybody will know this commercial. And she, I thought she was kind of cute. She's a big, heavy. She's heavy. She's a big, large woman.
Who would you compare her to so we have a visual?
You know, she's big. Besides, she's big. And she dances on the commercial, and she's talking about Jardiance and how her A1C is down or whatever, you know, and that's great. But here's the commercial, so you know who I'm talking about.
Diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take once daily Jardiance. At each day strong.
Dance, baby!
All right, I've had enough.
Her name is...
she's got a great voice. Sounds
she's,
like
very, she's very talented, and she dances well, you know. So I go on Twitter, and I saw the commercial. It's on all the time, and it plays a million times. So I just was being funny, I thought, and I tweeted out, I had a nightmare that the big girl from the Jardiance commercial pinned me against a wall and made me dance with her for an hour after she took my wallet. And then I said, she finally let me go. She gave me back my wallet, but she kept the $26 that was in it. And I just was messing around on Twitter, you know, making up stuff, right? Mm. Well, somebody says, she's from Boston, and she's very nice. And, I'm sure she is. But they got on me, and then they tweeted her, and then she got involved. Deanna, and she says, well, you know, you... She tweeted me like, "Oh, you wish, you know, like you know, whatever, and whatever." She's a lovely talent. And I said afterwards in the tweet, I said she's lovely and talented. She's just not small, you know. And it's quite obvious that she's not small. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not small either, right, Ben? I'm fat.
You're not fat. Shut up.
I'm kind of fat.
Well,
anyway, but the whole point is, I meant no harm to her. She's making a living. She's making a lot more money than I am doing that one Jardiance commercial. I'm sure of it.
And yes, that is true.
She's an entertainer. You know, she's employed in the business, and I didn't mean anything bad by it. I didn't say she was fat. I said she's big, and she is big, and that's the reason she's in the commercial.
So now, in your dream, she pushed you against the wall and made you dance with her. I think
for an hour.
That would be good punishment for you.
Well, I danced with her for an hour.
Well,
she took my wallet first and made me dance with her for an hour, then gave it back to me, but she kept the money that was in it. In my dream.
Were your sheets sticky when you woke up?
Well, Ben, that's such a childish, moronic, sophomoric, inane, funny thing to say. You peckerhead. All right, you know what? Let's get out of here. You want it summertime. You know what? Speaking of summertime, Joe.
Wait, hold on. There's two things we left on the table.
What's that?
Kike Hernandez gone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we can dismiss that one because that's really not that big.
He's gone. By the way, did you ever think he was good?
I thought he was pretty good that first year, but I didn't understand why you would. I was like, that's the best you're going to get. Let him go. Like, don't. And, of course, they fucked up.
Bad shortstop, dude. He can't play the position at
all.
Bad
shortstop.
Yeah.
But the big
thing. And he's not hitting either.
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah, Jaylen Brown.
$304 million.
And he's a bargain at twice the price.
That's amazing.
Where else can you get a guy who's not only an all-star caliber player, Joe, but he's also a guy who can dribble between three guys and bounce it off his feet and have it go out of bounds with such aplomb. I mean, he does it so well that sometimes you almost think it's a mistake instead of intentional. This guy is the most overrated. $60 million a year? 5 years?
That's what it'll end up being, yeah. $61 million in the last year.
$61 million a year. Okay, now how many games they play?
82.
82 games. So what does that figure out to be?
Well, it's regular season, yeah.
What's that? How much is that?
Do you think he ever sits around and says, oh, crap, I got a game tonight?
How much is 60? I gotta get this number per game that this guy's. 80 games, 60 million is how much? It's a fraction. Do you know how to use a calculator?
I can't read that. What does that say?
All right. Well, if it was 80 million a year, and it would be $1 million a game. So he's getting, let's say, 800,000.
He's getting $743,000
per game.
Per game.
And we're wondering why the Celtics tickets in the roof are 180, 200, 300.
Well, get ready for this. So right now it's the richest contract in NBA history, which it won't be in a year. Jason Tatum's going to make more than that in a year. He's going to sign a bigger contract next summer.
It's stupid.
And I'll be honest with you, I think Jaylen Brown's traded next summer. They can't trade him this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what about a sign and trade you're saying Jaylen Brown traded, not Jason Tatum. Okay.
No. I think Tatum's here for
I think you're right then. I think you're absolutely right that they're going to take that contract. Now it's a sign and trade. And they get rid of him, and it goes on someone else's cap.
Yeah, but he does have a trade kicker, so they'll owe him a lot of money when they do trade him. But, yeah, I think next year, because they can't trade him now based off of this. You can trade him next summer. I think he's gone next summer.
I think at times he's a spectacular shooter when he's red hot. But the rest of the time, I think he's a subpar ball handler. I think he's not smart. And he's not, got Iron Man guts.
Somebody thought he was worth it.
Well, yeah.
That's the way the NBA contracts work. Like, you had to do that.
Wow. It's amazing.
Every team would have done the same exact thing. Every team would have signed him.
Now, does a team make a lot of money from ticket sales? Would they make more money from ticket sales as opposed to corporate sponsorship and TV?
TV ticket, TV. Luxury boxes, we're talking about, they make, I think, the bulk of their money, too. Concessions but
the Celtics,
huge.
Celtics don't own the building. The Bruins own the building.
All right. So what would prevent a team, I know it's money, this might sound totally stupid to some corporate people, what would prevent a team from just lowering the price of tickets down so everyone could enjoy going to a game instead of paying what they're paying today?
It's outrageous now.
Why would you lower it if you can fill it up and they'll pay the higher price?
Well, that's true, but I'm just saying to be altruistic to the fans.
Yeah, no, that's the last thing they're ever going to be.
I think you're right.
And that's because the players is the last thing the players are ever going to be. Their players' union and all the money that they make, it's ridiculous. Mm. It's ridiculous money, and it's ridiculous in baseball, too. And it makes you not like the players as much. Automatically, if they were working hard, like a John Havlicek, he probably had jobs in the off season just to make enough money. You'd like them more because you could relate to them more.
Yeah.
When someone's making $60 million a year, he makes $1 million and $1.25 million every week.
That's big.
Then he dribbles off his feet.
Did you see the news about Kylian Mbappe, the French soccer player?
No.
Al Hilal, a soccer team in Saudi Arabia, offered his current team, PSG, $330 million to buy the rights to him. And on top of that, they supposedly have offered him about $700 million to play next year.
For that money, I would have to be buying Jesus.
1 year.
You can't really buy Jesus.
Almost $1 billion. It's amazing.
But if you bought Jesus and you hired him, think of all the free loaves and fish you could have.
Well, not only that, but Jesus would win every game if he wanted to.
Exactly. Yeah. The minute you're, I told you the golf joke about Jesus and Moses playing golf.
No.
I'll tell you that to close out this ridiculously great podcast.
All right. This is like a church story?
Jesus and Moses are playing golf. Thank you. Jesus and Moses on the first hole. Moses hits a 250-yard drive right down the middle. Beautiful shot. Jesus tees his ball up. He hits a pop-up 15 feet above his head. And before it hits the ground, a giant eagle swoops down from the heavens, grabs the golf ball in his talons, flies out above the green, drops the golf ball. It hits a turtle in the head and rolls in for hole-in-one. Moses turns to Jesus. He goes, "You're going to play golf, you're going to fuck around." All right, now Joe Castiglione is here to intro. They're not going to sing this week, I've heard. There's a work stoppage. I don't know, something about the union and the AI and all. They're all upset.
That'll do it. They support that stuff.
Joe has asked me to read in his voice the intro to the song we're going to play in honor of the summertime. Are you ready for this read?
Go ahead.
I'm going to try to do this in my best professional Joe Castiglione voice.
All right, go ahead.
Our Summertime, Summertime was released as a single in July 1958. It was credited to Tom Jamieson and manager Sherm Feller. Yes, Sherm Feller, who used to be the voice of the Boston Red Sox, Fenway Park. He was the announcer. You remember Sherm Feller?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Fenway Park.
Although Sherm did not contribute to the song's composition, it was common practice for managers of the time to get writing credits and publishing rights. The single was a commercial success, reaching number 28 on the Billboard Hot 100. Here's Summertime, Summertime by the Jamies.
It's summertime, 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 summertime,
summertime, summertime, summertime, summertime,
summertime,
summertime, Joe.
Summertime, summertime, summertime.
They're on sale this week at Shaw's.
It's summertime, Joe.
Summertime, summertime, some, summertime, 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 some, summertime, 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 some, summertime,
summertime, summertime, some, summertime, summertime.
It's summertime.